Hi, I'm Simon Bowie, US Editor of Structured Credit Investor, and welcome to the latest of our podcasts. And I'm delighted to welcome today Seth Painter, who's an MD and Head of Structured Products at Antares Capital in New York. So thanks very much for joining us. So tell us a little bit more about Antares Capital, if you can.
Sure, happy to. And great to be speaking with you again, Simon. Antares is a direct lender and a credit-focused asset management firm. We have approximately $60 billion of assets under management. And Simon, as you know, there's certainly been a lot of attention on the direct lending market and a lot of capital raised in the space in the past 5 years or so. But we've really been a leader in this market for more than 25 years. The company was founded in 1996. And certainly, you know, the market has grown up and changed quite a bit, in particular in recent years. But our sort of investment approach has remained fairly consistent over this time frame.
Yeah.
I'd say there's really three key tenets to the strategy and our portfolio. One, the portfolio is 100% sponsor backed. So every company is private equity owned. Two, we're very focused on having a higher credit quality portfolio. And the third is that diversity is quite important to us and our strategy. So I would say those are sort of the three key hallmarks to our strategy.
That's very interesting, Seth. Thank you. Now, you've talked about those three kind of pillars of your investment strategy. Just go into a little bit more detail in those three, if you could.
Sure. Why do we like lending to sponsor-backed businesses? I'd say we like it for a few reasons. You know, we think private equity firms just bring a lot of operational rigor to the companies that they own. They also tend to have the financial wherewithal to support their businesses as they encounter any liquidity challenges. We saw this in 2020 when sponsors really stepped up and contributed additional equity into companies. A family-owned business may not have the capital to further support the company. So I say the third thing that we like about our sponsor coverage model is it really allows for scale. So we're typically financing, you know, three or four companies at a time for any given sponsor. And covering the sponsor allows us to see all of their deal flow. And we think that's an advantage. I also mentioned just the higher credit quality of our portfolio. Our portfolio is almost exclusively first lien, 99% first lien. And so it's just a more conservative and higher quality profile. And this has always been sort of core to our strategy. And then the third thing is diversity. Diversity is very important to us. And I'd say we apply it to the business in a few different ways. The first is with the portfolio itself. We have more than 470 portfolio companies, so a tremendous amount of diversity at the borrower level. We also have relationships with more than 400 private equity firms, so very diverse across the sponsor community. Mm-hmm. And three, we very much value diversity on the funding of our business as well. We're focused on the funding mix, which includes CLOs, bonds, and bank debt. And then within each of these products, we look for diversity across investors and lenders. So I mean, that's really our business. We aim to be a consistent lender in the market by just sort of relying on what's been successful for us for more than two decades. And again, that's a diverse portfolio of high quality credits of private equity owned businesses.
So as far as I understand it, Seth, you fund the direct lending through the CLO market, and that's your specific area as head of structured products. Now, is that both middle market and traditional BSL CLOs?
CLOs are certainly an important funding tool for us, Simon. Since 2017, we've issued 10 CLOs for about $10 billion of assets. So we've been able to do some pretty large deals on average. And we just think CLOs are a very efficient way to finance corporate credit portfolios. There are a few things that we like about the structure. They're non-mark-to-market, which is particularly important for a middle market portfolio where there's just generally less liquidity in the underlying loans. We also like that CLOs are very long in tenor. They typically have 12-year maturities. So that longer maturity just provides flexibility around managing the maturities of the assets versus the liabilities. And the third thing is that they generally provide the cheapest cost of funds to us. Just the tranching of the liabilities allows for different risk profiles, and therefore that attracts a greater number of investors, which generally translates into better pricing. also asked about whether we're active in ESL CLOs. While we have not yet issued in that market, we are excited to be launching a liquid credit business this year. We've made a few key hires in recent months to lead that strategy for us, and we expect to be in market with our first ESL CLO later this year.
So how has the funding strategy based on CLOs been going over the last year or two? Because overall issuance in the CLO market has been on the sluggish side. So how have you been coping?
For sure. Issuance has been lighter more recently. 2022 volume was down about 25 or 30% versus 2021. But I think it's important to acknowledge that 2021 was a record year. Issuance that year was close to $185 billion. That's the highest ever. In 2022, issuance was $130 billion. That's good enough for second highest ever. So it was down, but deals were still getting done. And more recently, you know, this year, issuance in Q1 is effectively flat to Q1 of 2022. And if you take a closer look at the numbers, there's actually, I think, an interesting trend that's developing. Middle market CLO issuance is actually pretty meaningfully up year over year. There's been almost three times the amount of issuance this year versus the same time period in 2022. And historically, middle market CLOs have represented about 10% of total issuance. This year, that's doubled to around 20%. So what you're seeing, Simon, is middle market CLOs are taking some market share from the BSL market.
Yeah, that's very interesting. So why has the middle market space grown so much, do you think?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think the growth in middle market CLOs can be attributable to a few factors. The first is related to the trend we've seen in the loan market, and that's really the convergence of direct lending and syndicated markets. Corporate issuers that would have historically pursued a syndicated execution have opted to come to our market for a direct lending solution. I think they like the certainty of execution it provides. They also like working with a smaller and more familiar lending group. So you've seen direct lenders take market share from the syndicated markets. So I think there's some direct correlation between the shift that you're seeing in the loan market and the CLO market. There's simply just more direct loans to securitize. So that's one. Two, I would say the motivation to issue a CLO is often different across each market. For many direct lenders, CLOs are a longer term financing tool. And while the arbitrage and net income is, of course, very important for middle market CLO issuers, I think there's just generally more cushion and more room for compression on the margin. The margin for BSL CLO equity, as you know, is a lot thinner. It can be more difficult to make the equity returns work for those investors. And then the last thing I would mention is the yields on direct lending loans have increased pretty meaningfully in the last 12 months. We've been in a fairly lender-friendly market. Spreads are 100 basis points higher, and OID is probably 150 basis points higher year over year. So the equity arbitrage has improved, and so you're seeing more issuance. So I think it's probably fair to say that middle market CLOs will continue to gain some market share here.
Yeah, well, you can't argue with yields that, you know, 100 to 150 basis points higher. That's normally, in all the years I've been covering financial markets, a fairly compelling argument. What about the issuers? You've talked about more and more names coming to the market, but what kind of names are we seeing and where do they come from?
Well, there's still a lot of familiar issuers in the space. In fact, I think the firms who have been in this market for years are really benefiting the most from the market growth that we're seeing. Take us at Antares, for example. About 80% of our lending activity comes from our existing portfolio. We provide financing to 470 companies. A portfolio of that size, it creates a lot of financing opportunities. There are other firms who have been around for some time that are, you know, enjoying the same competitive advantage. And you're also seeing some firms who historically been more focused on tradable credit or liquid credit. They're seeing the opportunity in direct lending and they're coming into this market. They're seeing the higher yields and they're seeing the growth opportunities. Same thing for private equity firms. You know, many of these firms have credit arms who have become more active in the space lately. It's just, it can be a very good diversity play for them. When equity performance is down, the opportunity in credit can be pretty strong, like we're seeing in today's market.
So what does this mean, this growth of the middle market CLO space for the traditional BSL space. I think you said it had grown from 10% to 20%. Obviously, it's taking market share from the traditional BSL space. So what does that mean for the traditional BSL CLO market?
It's a great question. I do think and expect this market will pick up again, the BSL market. The reality is the CLO market is the largest buyer of loans, generally been between 55-60% of the buyer base. So these are very correlated and I would say interdependent markets. What we've seen on the BSL side is that when there's just this prolonged uncertainty in the broader economy, the CLO market really struggles to find the stability and pricing that it needs to make the economics work for the debt investors and the equity investors. So I think issuance may continue to be light until there's just more certainty around rates, corporate defaults, but the market will come back. I think I agree with many of the banks who are forecasting issuance to be down this year. Many of the forecasts I've seen have been in the $80 to $100 billion context. That sounds right to me, but the market will rebound. I'm confident in that.
So it's a bit too early to write the in memoriam for the BSL market then.
I think that's right, Simon.
Yeah. And the direct lending space, that's been on the up and up for some time now, hasn't it? Do you see that continuing to grow as well?
I do. I think that the market will continue to grow. I think the trend that I described where it's been taking market share from the tradable credit market will continue as well. We're seeing more capital come into the space. Many investors are looking for more yield. They're finding it here. They've seen the strong performance in private credit. So I think there's a number of reasons why this market's going to continue to grow at a pretty rapid pace.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing from other people as well. Well, Seth, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Thanks very much for your time. And it's been a wonderful wave of nostalgia for me to look over the backdrop of Gotham of New York in the background, nearly 10 blocks from where I used to work many years ago. But it's been a pleasure to talk to you, Seth. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you very much.